Welcome, sports fans, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, growing that green due to amazing picks. I'd like to welcome my partner in picks, Ryan.
You're welcome.
T-Bone Kramer.
We can just call me you're welcome.
Ryan, you're welcome, Kramer,
for all the picks last week
that you were getting right.
What did I go last week? Was it, I think 13 out of 16 on the show?
Yeah, you had a pretty strong week. Although the one pick that I took of yours, the parlay of Virginia Tech and LSU, did not pay off because your Virginia Tech Hokies got dismantled by the Clemson, whatever they are. What do you have to say for yourself, Ryan?
It was all part of the plan. They wanted to, you know, ACC needed to get two teams in the BCS. So
that was great just to see the annual, it's like an annual tradition now, the Boise State head coach just sitting in front of a press conference trying to explain why they're not in a better bowl.
Well, they finally manned up and joined a real conference now, so, well, somewhat real. So at least now that we'll see them play above average teams every week.
Yeah, but I think they're still a really strong team.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, though. It's one thing to be a good team and be able to get – clearly he's a good coach, and he's good at game planning when he has a lot of time. And he's – you know, it's one thing when you play a couple tough games a year and you look good. It's another when you have to play, you know, tough teams every week. Even if the team – bad teams in the WAC or the whatever conference they're in are bad. Bad teams in the Big East or the ACC, the SEC, they're still – you know, they're still decent teams. They still have, like, top-flight athletes, and you're not going to be able to just walk these teams. So I think just seeing them play a regular schedule and having to, you know, go on the road and play tough games on the road, even if it's at Pittsburgh or at Rutgers, you know.
Yeah. No, it'll make it a lot more interesting. Do you think are we going to four super conferences? That's all this realignment. That's what they're talking about. Four conferences with 16 teams each. Do you think we'll get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, well, you're looking at I believe the SEC is at 13 and probably going to go to 14 with West Virginia. You have the ACC now, added Pittsburgh and Syracuse. They're at 14. And the Pac-12 kind of missed a boat, but it sounds like it's not far off from Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, and potentially Texas A&M. It sounds like the Big 12 is going to be the conference that gets left in the dark. The Big East will probably absorb whatever's left. And, I'd like to see that because it will kind of force the hand for a playoff. You'll see it sounds like a lot of the conferences are talking about moving to a four-team division setup where the championship for each conference would actually be a two-round playoff. You'd have the four division winners play each other in first round and go to have a championship game. So that would kind of be like the first step into having a playoff.
Right. Then you would basically have an 18 playoff because you would play for the four spots, which would be a final four.
And then you would just have – because that's the big flaw in the BCS this year. The reason we have to watch the rematch between Alabama and LSU is they don't have a rule that says you have to win your conference to play in the championship game, which is kind of crazy. I feel like you should have to have won your division or your conference.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Oklahoma State, don't you think you have a pretty legit argument that you should get a shot at beating LSU? Alabama already had their shot at beating LSU. Why does Alabama get another shot and Oklahoma State doesn't get one shot?
Well, a good point is, like, everyone's screaming that, Michigan State's a good example. They got hurt by playing in their championship game. Same with Virginia Tech, even though they still got a BCS game. I mean, people are screaming that Boise State should have made it over Virginia Tech. But, I mean, the only reason Virginia Tech dropped is because they played in a championship game. I mean, these schools that don't play in the championship games kind of get the bye week. And it's kind of like Alabama. Alabama gets a bye-in in the national championship because they weren't good enough to win their own division.
I know. It's just insane. Why do we have to keep having the same conversation about college football? It's insane, Ryan. It's crazy. All right, let's take a look at – wow, are we already getting to – well, let's take a look at Week 13, what happened in Week 13, and, we'll get to Week 14. Sports Gambling Podcast is being brought to you by WinTheTrophy.com. You log on to WinTheTrophy.com, enter STG in the referral code, and you get to do some online fantasy gambling. You can actually win real money. It's not illegal. Doesn't cost anything. All you got to do is sign up with an email address. Pretty easy, pretty fun. And, of course, Amazon. All you do is click the Amazon link on Sports Gambling Podcast. And whatever you get on Amazon, we get a little cut over here. Get a little juice, as we like to say. All right, Week 13 action. Let's start it off. Thursday night in Seattle, the Philadelphia Eagles went in and got their butts kicked once again. Marshawn Lynch humiliating this broken Philadelphia Eagles team. The dream team was broken many weeks ago. I thought they would have a little bit of fight in here, maybe pull out a road win, but Thursday night going into Seattle, this team has quit on Andy Reid, and I think that's why his job is in jeopardy. Seattle won 31-14. They were three-point dogs. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this game?
Do you think DeSean Jackson gets a big contract now? I think he cost himself at least $10 million with that game.
That game? Yeah, well, that game...
Forget the other dumb stuff he's done with the personal fouls. He just flat out didn't run. I didn't try. Yeah. I mean, that I really don't see him getting...
The best is watching the highlights on after the post game in the NFL Network and Michael Irvin desperately trying to make excuses for him. You know, we don't know what this boy's been doing. He's running. And he's like...
Sean, how did you get Michael Irvin on the show?
You know, we don't know why he's not running hard. Look at him. He's limping. Maybe he's hurt. Either way, they got to get him out. If Michael Irvin can't figure out a way to stick up for a black receiver in this league, you know your days are numbered.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I get the argument. He's vastly underpaid. Or going into the season, he was really underpaid. He was a big part of that offense. But what he's done now is he showed people that he's only playing for the money and that he's not going to try at all if he's unhappy. So I think with this, what you find out is... he'll probably get signed by, you know, the Raiders.
Oakland Raiders.
It's a Raiders-like situation. He's going to go to a desperate team, a bad team, or a team like the Ravens, who have, like, Ray Lewis could scare the shit out of him and, stop acting a fool, boy.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I read an article on Yahoo today that had four or five, you know, basic league sources saying they wouldn't want to sign
this guy.
Obviously, they were anonymous or whatever, but they said, oh, no, we would never sign this guy because of the attitude problems. I mean, Andy Reid to bench you for missing a meeting means that obviously there's a lot more going on. Andy Reid's never been a crazy disciplinarian, so if he's benching you, obviously there's a lot of crap going on in the background.
It's also come out that, like, some of the older veterans on the team, like Jason Avant, just don't like him. Like, he's...
Right. No, he seems to have a huge attitude. I understand being pissed about being underpaid, but if he would have went out and even had like 70% of the year you had last year, he would put himself in a great position to sign a big contract. Or even if he went out and was playing super hard and having, you know, I mean, the fact is his numbers are way down. It's not just his attitude; his numbers are way down.
He's just not good.
Yeah, I think he's – I mean, even last year or the year before, I had always said Macklin should be their number one. He is their number one. He's much more of a real NFL receiver. DeSean Jackson's a great guy to have on the team as far as being explosive and a weapon, and it's nice to have a guy that can just outrun everyone on the field. It's valuable against teams like the Giants in punt situations, obviously, or, you know, it is nice to throw a fly pattern and let DeSean Jackson run under it. There's a certain value there. But if you think – if you went big time Larry Fitzgerald money, which I think he was thinking he could get, you got to be an every down receiver, every play receiver, and he's neither of which. And I think DeSean Jackson is another reason why, you know, Andy Reid, it's going to be tough for him to keep his job, because if it looks like this Eagles team is quit on him. Now, if they play hard here these last few weeks, maybe, you know, salvage the season a little bit and get a couple wins, some momentum into next year, maybe he keeps his job. I think part of it, too, is who do you have better out there to replace Andy Reid? That's a real question. So we'll see. I mean, I could really go either way. If they fired him and brought in someone like a Bill Cowher, I guess I would be okay with that. But I would also be okay with giving Andy Reid another year. He is a good coach. But at a certain point, if you've lost the team, it's time to move on.
That's the thing, though. It seems like he's only lost a couple people.
Right, and maybe that's it. You know, you never hear the full story. Maybe he is just, DeSean Jackson is a cancer and there's some other problems. I think that's an in general, the problem of this Eagles team. There's no leadership, especially on defense. There's no, like, who's the guy on that Eagles defense? Yeah, Nnamdi's the high-priced free agent they brought in, but where's the team leader? Where's Brian Dawkins? We're missing Brian Dawkins. All right, let's move along. Tennessee at Buffalo last week. Tennessee getting a point and a half, and they won outright, 23-17 in Buffalo. But I still don't understand how this Tennessee team was an underdog. I feel like this should have been a pick.
Yeah, they well, it makes sense. Tennessee hasn't been winning pretty, but they're a solid team. They're quietly turning in. Like, I think the offensive line has figured it out. Chris Johnson's starting to play well.
Chris Johnson.
This is a team really well. I would not want to play against the next 4 weeks because they're playing for a playoff spot and their defense is playing tough and they have a quarterback that doesn't make a ton of mistakes, which is it's crazy to say that about Hasselbeck.
And with Houston kind of on the ropes with T.J. Yates kind of hanging on by a thread, I think Tennessee is a very motivated team these last 4 weeks. Great value with this Tennessee team.
And Buffalo's just, they're done.
Yeah, they quit a few weeks ago. They had a little spark there with the Jets, but I think after that,
I think they're still trying. I think they just got exposed. It's classic Chan Gailey. Like, his offensive, I mean, they run the same pass route every time, and it's just the word's out on it. Their offensive line is they're starting.
Their offensive line's decimated. They're not getting the
turnovers. Their defense can't get out. Yeah, well, that's, we see it every year. The team who starts out hot, getting a lot of turnovers. Turnovers just don't, you can't consistently get them. So,
okay, Kansas City Chiefs went into Chicago. Battle of the bads when it comes to the QBs. Kansas City Chiefs were getting 7 points on the road. They didn't need it. In fact, they won by 7 points. Very ugly game, 10-3. The only touchdown coming from a Dexter McCluster reception off of a Hail Mary. Ryan, you're really high on the Chicago team at home. What happened?
I don't know. Marion Barber lined up wrong. Haney couldn't hit a wide open Earl Bennett, and then they allow a Hail Mary to happen. I mean, basically, 21 point swing happened in like the course of 3 minutes in the second quarter. So. The defense, Chicago's defense is still good, but that offense is, without Forte, they just look really bad. I mean, Roy Williams can't catch a pass. Haney can't throw it to good receivers, and teams are not kicking a Hester, so.
Yeah, I think Chicago's in a lot of trouble here, especially with Forte being out. I don't see them. If they make the playoffs, I don't see them making a lot of noise. Okay, the Oakland Raiders heading into Miami. Oakland getting 3 points on the road. But this feisty Miami Dolphins team, Ryan, this is another game you were high on, but you were right on this one. Dolphins 34-14. This Dolphins team is pretty feisty. What happened? Why did they all of a sudden turn this on? Where was this Dolphins team previously?
Team's playing hard. I don't know. No explanation, but they're playing really hard right now.
It seems like as soon as it was completely obvious that their season was over, then all of a sudden they started playing.
See, the thing is, Matt Moore has always been a guy who people say could be a quarterback because he's got the big arm, he's tall, and he's athletic. But the craziest part about this team is that defense, like early in the season, they couldn't get a pass rush to save their life. And now they're getting to the quarterback, they're playing hard defense. Reggie Bush is running for like 100 yards a game.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see this Miami team all of a sudden turn
around. I mean, the Eagles need to be really careful this week. They're in trouble. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Eagles, yeah, I think they're really outmatched with Miami, just the effort Miami's putting out on the field right now. Okay, my Denver Broncos, my new team, the Denver Broncos, went into Minnesota, guided by the incomparable, the electrifying, the amazing Tim Tebow.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, he's a close second to Tim Tebow. 35-32. This Denver team is on a roll. They're playing emotional, inspired football. It's exciting to watch. There was no doubt in my mind that they would come down and win, even when they had to go for two. Everyone in the stands, or at least everyone that were sitting in the living room, were sitting there going, okay, they're going to run that play where they're in the shotgun, they fake it to McGahee or whoever's a running back, and then just Tim Tebow runs it up the gut.
The craziest part about that two-point play, they've run it twice now, and it's not even the read option play. It's just a, you know, tight end motions in the backfield. They have two fullbacks, and Tebow just runs it.
Yeah.
And you know he's running it to the side where
they fake the handoff, but it's not.
I don't think they even fake the hand. I'm telling you, watch that play. I think it's just a running play. It's just Tebow catches it and runs it. It's the same play they ran against Miami. It was the old Florida play that he ran with Urban Meyer. It's just, you know it's coming, and he wasn't touched.
Yeah, I mean, Terry Bradshaw, I think, tried to insult him by saying he's a fullback playing quarterback, but that's what he looks like. That's the way. And in Tebow's defense, he actually had a few good throws. He looked much sharper than he had before throwing the ball. He was 10 of 15, 200 yards.
I think their success running the ball has created a situation where it's almost always single coverage or the safety's bite, and you're getting – I mean, the guys look wide open, but part of the reason is just the success they're having on the with the run. I would say, though, I'm not sure if this – I know their defense is playing hard, but I'm not sure if this one defensive touchdown a game is going to be sustainable, but – I mean,
yeah, who knows? But it seems like they just find ways to win, as cliche as it sounds. And you got to give it up to Willis McGahee. This guy's running hard, and they're just throwing guys up in the box to slow down him and Tim Tebow. And he seems to be. Where is this coming out of McGahee? I thought he was finished.
It's funny. He in a post game thing. He was. It sounds like he wants some credit. He was pointing out that there's more than one player on the team.
Yeah. Well, I think that was like 2 weeks ago, but then. This past week, he was back.
Oh no, he backed him. He said we were going to ride with him, but he also wanted to point out that there were multiple players on the team.
Okay, now the Indianapolis Colts, huge underdogs, almost embarrassing with the spread, 20.5 points, somewhere around there. They covered pretty easily, but it was due to two last second backdoor touchdowns, or end of the game touchdowns. Losing but only by 7 to New England in New England, 31-24. Ryan, any thoughts on this game?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you remember about it. But since I've been gambling, I can't remember more than 5 spreads this big. So I think you got to take it every time, right?
Yeah, no, it seemed like you just had to take it. And when Indy first drove down, we're like, oh, why did we throw a ton of money on it? And then New England came back and was dominating. And then, of course, Pierre Garçon and Orlovsky got hot late in the game. It's crazy, though, because they had a chance. If they would have got that onside kick, it was a nice bounce of the onside kick. Just ended up going right to the New England player. That would have been an amazing, epic comeback. And as a sports fan, you just got to love seeing bad shit happen to Bill Belichick or Tom Brady.
When are people going to talk about how – I mean, he's supposed to be a defensive genius.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Billick. It didn't last too long. Like his offensive genius, he went to the Ravens and they had the worst offense in the league. So how many years? This is now the second year in a row where New England's had one of the worst defenses in the league. So I feel at some point we're gonna have to start talking about his inability to coach defense anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think New England's got a decent team just because they got Tom Brady, and I do think Belichick's a good enough coach, but he
two Pro Bowl players before the season. Like, he cut their starting safety.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't seem to have any sort of finesse with managing kind of troublesome talent or just drafting. They've had some pretty crappy drafts, so... His player personnel management has been pretty weak as of late.
Because he's always trading picks. He trades down for picks next year and never uses
those
picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. Even when they have a year like this, I think they had a couple extra picks that they actually used. They're not getting a lot done. Although Gronkowski, I think, has been huge for this team. I have him in both my fantasy leagues. And he is
a stud.
Well, speaking of fantasy, Ryan, we're matched up in the playoffs for fantasy football. Are you worried, Ryan?
Yahoo has the spread at has me favored by like 10 points, I think.
Well, see, that's the thing. I haven't set my lineups officially yet. I have Miles Austin on my bench right now. I'm deciding whether or not to play him. It's tough, man, because I don't know how much work he's going to get against the Giants, and especially coming off that injury.
Is he even practicing?
Yeah, I think he's practicing. They're projecting he's going to start, so we'll see. Although I was looking, like checking the information. You check those little red boxes next to your players to see any kind of news. And I found this about LeGarrette Blount. This was the longest. Well, the incident's funny, but this is the longest fantasy recommendation I've ever seen. So I guess Blount was listening to a police report. LeGarrette Blount of the Tampa Bay Bucks was listening to a police report regarding a September 11th incident. Okay? It's his recommendation. This is from Roto-World. There's a great deal of smoke with this one. No charges have been filed, but only, supposedly, because the victim feared retaliation. Blunt refused to talk to police regarding the incident. The report states that, while driving in an apartment complex parking garage, the victim's vehicle, a Toyota pickup, ran into a mirror on a Ford Expedition that was later claimed to be owned by Blunt's sister. Blunt and two others, however, were standing next to the vehicle at the time, the report states, and the victim claims to have kept driving in order to avoid blocking traffic. Blunt and the two others allegedly responded by using the Expedition to cut off the Toyota at another point in the parking garage, at which point one of Blunt's affiliates, allegedly following Blunt's commands, proceeded to assault the victim by punching him in the eye, nose, and jaw, while the other man jumped on the hood and kicked out his windshield. Blunt was not accused of committing any violation or violent acts himself, but this accusation is hardly something a person with Blunt's history needs, regardless of if the victim attempted to flee after hitting the Expedition. That's the longest thing I've ever seen in a fantasy update. None of which has any regard to whether he's playing or not. It doesn't sound like they can charge him with anything, because the victim isn't coming forward, because it sounds like they were involved in a hit and run, and they just got horribly unlucky that it was LeGarrette Blunt's sister's car, and that LeGarrette Blunt was sitting there with a couple homeboys. And they just beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, he also was talking all sorts of shit about Josh Johnson and how bad he is.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Apparently, he said something to the effect, like, basically, he couldn't run the ball because Josh Freeman wasn't playing quarterback.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm leaving him in my starting lineup just because the guy does run hard. So
we'll talk about it later, but that might be the worst matchup of the week.
Yeah, that Tampa Bay team looks pretty rough. Okay, let's keep finishing with the recap of Week 13. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Man, I thought this might be a little close divisional battle. It wasn't. Yeah, Pittsburgh smoked Cincinnati 35-7.
Yeah, this was another one I was high on. I thought Pittsburgh. It's kind of like Cincinnati. Welcome to the big leagues. They've been losing to the good teams in the division, and their season's pretty much over. They got a big game against Houston this weekend.
Right. There were a lot of these. We always see one of these teams, or there's a couple teams each year that start off hot and seem like they'll probably be good in a couple of years, but eventually kind of cave under the pressure.
Part of it was just the schedule. They didn't play Pittsburgh or Baltimore until like 3 weeks ago. So
that's true. All right, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the aforementioned Tampa Bay Bucks, losing at home 38-19. Carolina getting 3.5 points. At least that was the opening spread. It sounded like it shifted to Carolina -2 when word came out that Josh Freeman was not starting. I kind of got to that news late. I didn't see that till Sunday morning, Ryan. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that Tampa team is bad. They can't play defense. They right. can't move yeah, the ball. I mean, Carolina's got a bad offense and a bad defense. Yeah, sorry, yeah. And they won. I mean, the score was even closer than this game really felt. Tampa Bay just kicked a shitload of field goals.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton had 4 touchdowns, something like that.
Yeah, he broke a single season record for rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. He's also leading the league in rushing touchdowns.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, he must be neck and neck with McCoy because I know he's having a pretty good year as well. All right, the New York Jets went into Washington, D.C., took care of business courtesy of some Rex Grossman mistakes. Jets winning 34-19, covering the 3-point spread. This game was kind of close, and then there was a couple touchdowns late. What do you think, Ryan?
If you're a Jets fan, you're happy about Sean Green finally showing up to play.
Do the Jets have a shot in the playoffs? Do you think do the Jets win a playoff game this year?
Well, if they get in, and they could end up. That could be one of those matchups if they get in as the 5 seed and have to go to Denver. Actually, no, they wouldn't be because Baltimore or Pittsburgh will be the 5. So they would be the 6 seed, and they would most likely have to play Houston. So that could be an interesting little matchup there. But I'm going to say no. Sanchez on the road, I'm not buying it. Although I kind of like them this week.
He's done all right in the playoffs on the road.
The Jets have done all right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you could say Sanchez has done all right.
Yes.
So, you know.
All right. So let's hear it. Well, now you're talking about Houston. Houston won 17-10, beating Atlanta. They were getting 3 points at home.
Like I pointed out last week on this podcast, Matt Ryan on the road, and this offense is a machine. I mean, I think they probably put up more points if Andre Johnson doesn't go out with that hamstring injury. He was real. I mean, he allows them to do some things, I think, but they run the ball. Yates wasn't making mistakes, and it.
Does Andre Johnson play this week?
No, it sounds like he's not going. I mean, they shouldn't play him. They basically have a playoff spot locked up. They have a fairly easy schedule down the stretch. I don't think he plays, and I actually this might be a good week to go against the Texans. Rookie quarterback looked good, but now going on the road without his top receiver.
All right. Okay, the Baltimore Ravens, talking a little NFC North here, beat up the Cleveland Browns 24-10. I thought this Cleveland Browns team might have a little heart in them, getting 6.5 points at home, maybe keep it close, divisional game. That was not the case. Got worked pretty good here by Baltimore.
Yeah, when I went back and looked at this final score, I was shocked because it felt like this was like a 5-touchdown game. It was 24-3. They scored a garbage touchdown. This game was never close.
Yeah, Cleveland just does not have any offense.
They're done. I don't know even what's their coach's name? Schumer? Pat Schumer?
Yep.
He needs to get fired.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I thought they should have given Mangini another year.
He's Holmgren's boy, though, so he'll probably get another year.
Yeah, I thought they should have given Mangini another year. I mean, not that he did great, but they seem to have some momentum.
Who would have thought he would be so good on TV? He seems like this quiet, like, nerdy guy, but he's actually pretty good on NFL Live.
Oh, I haven't seen him a lot.
Yeah, he actually has, like, really interesting takes on stuff, and he's better than most of the, like... I expect him to be like the guy that was like,
He's a little fired up, dude.
Nah, he's good. He's good.
He chews tobacco, so he's all right guy.
He's better than Herm Edwards in his nonsensical rants.
Herm Edwards. Who is it, Jim Mora? It was the 10-year anniversary of playoffs.
Yeah, that was
it. Monday morning Sunday morning or NFL Countdown was promoting their NFL Countdown of celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Jim Mora's epic playoffs rant.
That's
it's absurd.
That ESPN pregame show is awful.
Yeah, it's
unwatchable at this point. I mean, honestly, if you're going to watch anything before the Fox pregame starts. Or the CBS, for that matter.
The NFL Network.
Rich Eisen's the man. That's a really well done show, and I like Steve Mariucci.
Prime, what you say, Prime? All right, Green Bay Packers went into New York City, and eked out a victory. 38.
You can say the swamps of Jersey. It's all right.
The swamps of Jersey. 38-35. Unfortunately, for people who gambled on it, did not cover the 7-point spread. New York.
Or fortunately, like I said, this would be a 21 underperform the spread by 21 points. You go home, you're getting points. You close your eyes and take a chunk.
It could have. I mean, they easily could have covered this couple plays here, a couple plays there. Ryan, any thoughts on your New York Giants 4-game skid? It seems like the same old Giants story of falling apart in the second half of the season. Tom Coughlin on the hot seat. What do you think happened in the last 4 games?
That the loss to Philly was bad. Going on the road, losing to New Orleans on Monday night. I mean, obviously getting blown out sucks, but pretty understandable. That's a game you're probably not going to win. And then basically coming in within one possession of the two best teams in the conference, it could be worse. I mean, it's one of those things. Like, I feel like they're considering they lost 4 in a row, they're playing pretty well. Right now, they played well. Yeah, exactly. Don't get dizzy. Oh, I mean, come on. They put up the best game against Green Bay as anyone. And then offense moves the ball. So
where's this defense, though, man? I feel like the defense is
injuries, man. I mean, the play that Jordan Nelson caught that pass at the end of the game to get in field goal range. They signed that guy on Wednesday. So that's really what's killing them. Their defensive backfield, they're starting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about the Giants' injuries. That they just seem to their defense seems to be able to be taken advantage of.
But still, they only gave up 4 touchdowns to Aaron Rodgers, which
We will see, Ryan. We will see when they play this next team next week. The Dallas Cowboys lost 13-19 against Arizona. Someone picked that as their upset special. That someone was me. This is one of those games where Dallas always has trouble with Arizona, especially in Arizona. I didn't feel great about this pick, but it just something felt right about this pick. And did I know that Jason Garrett would ice his own kicker and cost them a chance to win the game? No.
That series of plays was we were watching the game and.
Wow.
when Romo, they completed a pass, and they had like 30 seconds left, two timeouts, and you're like, okay, they call a timeout here. They ran up to the line and spiked it with like 7 seconds left. And they're like, okay, they're going to run one more play and then call their timeout. They just ran the field goal unit of the team
and
around
then,
the field.
And then they called the timeout.
And they didn't just call a timeout. They waited for their – they lined up and snapped the ball. He iced his own kicker. It was the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you're Jason Garrett, did he even give an explanation of why he called that timeout?
No,
yeah,
he didn't.
Was like, he was kind of defiant about it.
I actually heard none of the post game, but I don't know. It's really unexplainable.
It was insane. When the guy catches it, I think it was Dez Bryant, when he caught it, you have about 30 seconds, call a timeout, then either run a – oh, yeah, he said more often not when you run the ball there, you actually lose yardage. What is he talking about?
Now that I'm an adult and I earn my own money and I have to make life decisions, football coaches are not smart people.
No.
I don't – even the ones that are quote-unquote geniuses. I mean, come on. This is – the fact that they're starting to hire people that are just to manage replay and clock situations, like how easy is it to be like, okay, I have two timeouts. I'm going to call a timeout.
Well, all right. Replay, I guess I give them the benefit of the doubt because you can't be up in the booth with all those angles. That makes sense that they have someone else do that. But, yeah, clock management is pretty easy. And there's no reason. You have two timeouts. You call a timeout there, and you at least run another play.
Here's the question.
Draw anything, run?
If the Cowboys don't make the playoffs, which, unfortunately, Detroit and Chicago are melting down, and someone has to win the NFC East, but if the Cowboys don't make the playoffs, does Garrett lose his job?
Well, he signed a four-year contract, so...
That hasn't stopped Jerry Jones before.
Right, no, I'm just saying, I'm thinking how much of that money's guaranteed, but Jerry Jones, yeah, if you've seen his TV in the stadium, money doesn't really seem to be his concern. It seems to be winning.
And it's certainly not his wife, either.
Yeah, wow. You think money buys happiness, and then you see Jerry Jones' wife, and no, money does not buy happiness, unless you're into... It's like if Cruella DeVille packed on like 25 pounds, that is his
wife. Well, you've heard Logan talk about the girls in Texas, right?
Yeah. Everything's bigger in Texas, including Jerry Jones' wife's forehead. She looks hideously unattractive. I mean, there's like an old...
I mean, she's like probably like 80, right? How old is Jerry Jones?
Yeah. Well, there's an old lady hot, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of put together.
How does he not just give her like $20 million and just get a new wife? Isn't that what they do?
Right. I mean, I think we all know that the Dallas Cowboys are just a front for a gay dance club, essentially. I mean, when the stadium lights go out, they turn on that big screen, play some sweet dance jams, Tony Romo's out there.
And so, I mean, right now, Dallas, this is a big game for Dallas coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Jason Garrett, I guess, could be on the hot seat. I mean, it doesn't make sense why you wouldn't give him more than one full season if you actually believed in him. But then again, Jerry Jones does like to make a splash. So I feel like if they don't make the playoffs and one of these bigger names are available, Jason Garrett could get the axe. All right, let's move on to some NFC West action. St. Louis Cardinals. Or no. St. Louis Rams.
You'll get it eventually.
I screw this up every week on the show. St. Louis Rams, because I think
you're just such a big baseball fan, Sean.
I think they're always, for whatever reason, they're always playing at a similar time. Well, it's usually the West Coast time zone for the Cardinals, so they're always next to each other. It screws me up. All right, St. Louis Rams in San Francisco. Whew, this was not a pretty game. St. Louis was getting 13 points, not enough. St. Louis did not cross the opponent's 35-yard line this game, which was impressive, 26-0. It's kind of up in the air whether A.J. Feely or Sam Bradford, either of them will be able to start. Ryan, who do they got coming in at quarterback?
His name's like Backstetter or something. I watch a lot of football, a lot of college football. I've never heard of this guy. They signed Kellen Clemens to back him up, and I don't know. They have to travel across the country to Seattle. I really thought this was too much for San Francisco to be laying, but I guess I didn't account for the fact that St. Louis wouldn't get into field goal range the whole game. So,
yeah, no, this felt like,
and that's without Patrick Willis went out of this game early in the first quarter. Like, we're talking, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. New Orleans Saints at home won comfortably 31-17 against the Detroit Lions. Detroit definitely had some chances in this game, but I don't know, man. Profound lack of discipline. A lot of awful.
It's unbelievable.
A lot of stupid penalties. I mean, and great. Nate Burleson got called for like three offensive pass interference.
Yeah, those were really bad.
Personal fouls left and right.
The offensive pass interference, those were kind of – those were crappy calls. But the personal fouls were just retarded. Like the guy punched another guy in the face with the ref standing right there. It's like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, and then the other one, the ref – broke. They were getting at it,
and he actually pushed the ref.
He actually got away with a shot, and then the ref got in between and was like pushing him away. Wasn't going to throw him a flag, and the ref pushed him away, and then he shoved the ref, and the ref just like looked at him, like, "Are you serious?" And you just see the flag coming right out.
What's funny is no one's bringing up the fact that this must be how Schwartz coaches. This is what he did to Harbaugh, right? He retaliated.
Right, they're used to seeing shoving around.
Yeah, he can't really get too mad at him when he did the same thing. Yeah, I really thought this was a lot. I mean, Detroit, I can't wait to bet against them next week.
Okay, the San Diego Superchargers with a super effort Monday night going into Jacksonville, laying the smackdown on the Jags, 38-14. Ryan, you had me convinced these Jags would be playing hard for the new coach, but
yeah, what I didn't account for is that I thought San Diego was done. This is what we usually see around week 8. Came a little later this year, week 13. It's intriguing. Maybe Malcolm Floyd was the key to this team. He was out for 5 weeks. He comes back, and that offense looked explosive.
All right. Now let's get to the week 14 action, Ryan. First up on the docket, Thursday Night Express, Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Browns getting 14 points.
That's probably taking the point. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. Taking big double-digit spreads, granted they're on the road, is usually the right thing to do. And if you do it like by volume, I'm sure more than 50% of double-digit spreads cover in the NFL. That being said, I can't do it. This Cleveland team looks bad. I mean, Colt McCoy might be one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that has played more than 16 games.
Wow. I didn't think he was that bad.
See, I mean,
no, I mean, I don't think he's just good, but
he doesn't. He's too small. He's not fast. He makes a lot of bad throws. It's just, he's the kind of guy who he usually doesn't last this long, and so for that reason, him going night game in Heinz Field on a short week, not a lot of time to prepare for the crazy looks he's gonna get. I got to take Pittsburgh against the smart part of my brain. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
See, I'm hanging out in the smart part of your brain, Ryan, and I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns getting 14 points. I think Steelers kind of look ahead. We've seen it before with some of these Thursday night games. The better team seems to look ahead. These Thursday night games tend to be really sloppy, so that's why I think the 14 points will be helpful there.
Now, you want to talk about the Thursday night games. The home teams are killing it against the spread in the Thursday night games.
I just think Steelers, they're kind of a veteran team. I think they're probably getting a little tired here. They're looking forward to that extra long weekend. So I could see Cleveland getting a garbage touchdown late, being on prime time.
Yeah, week 14 is the week when you start having to question, is the team going to show up? Do they need this game? Now, the argument for that would be, well, Pittsburgh and Baltimore are neck and neck, so Pittsburgh kind of needs to win this game, but at the same time, there's a lot of matchups this week where you have to wonder, will the team show up and be fired up, or will they just do enough to win?
Okay. Will this team be fired up? Of course they will. They're the Indianapolis Colts, and they're heading into Baltimore Sunday morning. Colts getting 16.5 points. Man, these bookies know how to make it interesting, Ryan. What are you thinking here?
This is one of those games where if the Steelers win, I think I take Baltimore, but if for some reason Cleveland can win that game and the Steelers lose on Thursday night, I can't wait to take the Colts. I think the Ravens kind of sit back and just coast. And I feel like this isn't smart, but I'm going to take the big favorite again. I know they did well against the team with no defense, but I think the Ravens are going to come out and be – I mean – 17 was kind of my threshold for this game.
Right, no.
And I think – you know, you give me 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, I honestly don't see how this is much different from last week, and they made the spread 20 points.
In my mind, you could make an argument that'd be higher.
Better defense.
Yeah, better defense.
Are we just reacting to Dan Orlovsky's, like, 300-yard performance? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, really, New England had that game covered for the majority of the game. They were up 21. Orlovsky got some garbage stuff. Actually, really screwed me over in fantasy because I was playing against Garcon.
Give me the Ravens, and we now have two teams to a three-team, 10-point teaser locked in. So,
all right, Cincinnati Bengals at home laying 3 points against the Houston Texans. I'm going to take the Bengals here. This team's feisty. They still have a shot, technically. They're still kind of in the mix. Texans banged up. Don't really need this game. Andre Johnson out. I think I like the Bengals -3 here.
Their defense is really – Houston's defense is really good, and Cincinnati's defense has gotten worse, and they're not that great against the run anymore. Houston's been a machine, but I just think Yates on the road. Cincinnati's kind of – the crowd is going to be crazy. They still have a shot. I think they're still in the wild card race, right?
Yeah,
and I think this is a big game for them. I think they step it up, and I was really hoping this line would go to 2.5. I really like it at 2.5, but at 3, it's one of those things. I'm not sure I could see Houston winning this game.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to take a +3, so I'm going to take Cincinnati. I think Dalton shows up.
Okay, Green Bay Packers on their run to stay undefeated against the Oakland Raiders. Raiders getting 11 points in Green Bay. Man, this is kind of tough. What Raiders team are we going to see on Sunday? Obviously, the Packers seem pretty dialed in, but their defense has definitely showed some weakness here. I think their value is in creating turnovers, and I think that's why I'm going to pick them here. The Packers defense thrives on turnovers, and I think they get to Carson Palmer and cause a couple turnovers. Thus, they cover the 11-point spread. Ryan, what are your thoughts here?
I love the over in this game. Oakland can't stop anyone passing the ball. This is going to be a classic game that you're going to look at the score after the fact, a little bit like the Miami game. You're going to be like, oh, wow, Oakland didn't get crushed that bad. It'll be like 35-21, and then you look at what happened, and you see that garbage. You see all the garbage time points that the Oakland puts up. Carson Palmer is going to throw at least. I'd say if the over, I take over two picks in this game, and one of them being returned for a touchdown. I think this is a lock. This might be my lock of the week, unfortunately.
Wow.
I feel like a sucker though. I'm laying. Taking two teams laying more than 10 points, they're not all going
to
hit.
Nope. Kansas City Chiefs heading into play the New York Jets. Chiefs getting 9 points on the road. I like the Chiefs getting 9 points.
Love the Jets here.
Really? Wow. Yeah,
another big favorite. I don't
love the Chiefs here, but I feel like 9's a little too high for this Jets.
I'll tell you why this Jets team will cover this spread.
All right.
Kansas City has the worst offense in the league. Since Palco started, they are the worst offense in the league. They've scored something like 2 offensive touchdowns in the last 27 quarters, and one of them was a Hail Mary. And I think the Jets defense limits – they don't get over 10 points, and the Jets have actually been moving the ball at home. Their running game's coming around. Sanchez is actually at home. I trust him to make the throws. And this to me feels like a little bit like the Pittsburgh Cincy game last week. This feels like it's going to be a blowout. I feel like this feels a lot like a 31-9 type game.
All right, he won me over a little bit on the Jets, but I think this Chiefs offense of Hail Marys, I think it's gonna cause some problems.
Here's the problem: Dwayne Bowe is clearly their best player, and Revis is just gonna invite him to Revis Island and shut him down, and it's really gonna kill Palco, and they're just gonna blitz the shit out of him. And I don't see they can't run the ball, they can't pass the ball. Their defense is playing hard, but they're going to be in bad field position all game. This is a spread that I don't see why this spread is any different than the Packers spread. Like, I thought they both should be around that between 10 and 12 points kind of range. So when I saw it was under 10, I really like it.
Okay, the Detroit Lions at home, 10 a.m. kickoff, West Coast time, laying 7 points against the Vikings. All right, what do you think of these Detroit Lions, Ryan?
Is AP back?
I don't know. That's the key here.
I'll tell you what. If Adrian Peterson's back, I think this feels like a game that the Vikings win outright.
Wow.
I think a couple.
I was going to say, I like if AP's not playing, I like the Lions -7. If he is playing, I'll take the Vikes +7.
If he's playing, I think that +7 is just a gift. I mean, I think Percy Harvin is getting involved. Ponder. I mean, Denver's a solid team at this point, and they played them in a tough game. I think Detroit done recently that's impressed you? I mean, they couldn't put up a lot of points against a bad New Orleans defense. So,
yeah, I just think the Lions at home still kind of being in the mix. I think they win this game, unless if AP shows up, take it back. I'll take the Vikings.
Especially no Sue. Fairley has a foot injury. It definitely has the feeling.
Okay. New Orleans Saints playing host. Or actually, sorry, they're going into Tennessee where the Tennessee Titans, home dogs, getting 3.5 points. Give me those Tennessee Titans. This just has a, you know, maybe it's kind of a cliche
trap picture,
but it feels like a letdown game for the Saints. The Saints have kind of been on a roll at home. Going to play this Tennessee team, the Saints struggle on the road, outdoors. It's getting kind of chilly in Tennessee. Tennessee is a fired-up team, running the ball really well, playing together as a team. Hasselbeck not turning it over a lot. I like Tennessee here, getting 3.5.
The Saints are really like a much better version of the Falcons. They're a dominant team at home, and they aren't really a good team on the road. Their defense is not very good, and being at home, scoring a lot of points makes them look good because they can just rush the passer and turn teams over. But I like Tennessee. They're going in the right direction. Chris Johnson's playing hard. Hasselbeck's playing well, and their defense is playing tough. This to me is a game, a team going on the road after playing some home games, doesn't really need this game coming up here, and I think they take the foot off the pedal a little bit and I could see New Orleans squeaking it out and winning by 3, but I have a feeling Tennessee's going to win this game outright.
Yeah, I mean, 4, I feel real strong about. 3.5, I still feel pretty good about. Okay, speaking of things I feel good about, it's a phrase I've not said about the Philadelphia Eagles this entire season. They head into Miami, where they're getting 3 points. Give me the Dolphins, man. They got a hot hand.
Is Vic playing?
Yeah, Vic is starting. Macklin, I think, still kind of 50-50. McCoy's playing. He's the only guy on the team who has any heart or soul. The rest of the team are just a bunch of spineless pussies.
Trent Cole, too? He's a pussy? I feel like if I was an Eagles fan, I'd put him on the list.
I like Trent Cole. I do, but I feel like, where's the leadership, Trent? Reggie White wouldn't let this happen. Reggie White, you call yourself, and he's a good player, but where's that extra... You know, what Brian Dawkins brought to the team wasn't necessarily – he was always a hard hitter and good physically, but he was never, like, insanely gifted. He was just insane in the membrane.
Weapon X.
Yeah. He called himself Weapon X. He had a separate locker
for with his – Wolverine memorabilia.
For his alternate personality. That's a crazy MF-er that you want out on the football field. I don't see any crazy MF-ers on this football team except for Michael Vick, but that's – crazy in a different way. I don't see any crazy guys. I remember when I played football, third grade, I remember our motto for defense was defense crazy, defense crazy. I don't see that from this team.
Yeah, it's tough to control or stop crazy.
They don't have much heart, and that's why I like the Dolphins laying 3 at home.
Yeah.
I think Reggie Bush is going to give them problems. Okay, the reason I, you know, maybe the Eagles win, maybe McCoy has a big game, Vic decides to come back and play strong. It's a possibility. I mean, the Eagles are coming off 10 days rest, but I like Dolphins here. Not in a huge way, but I like the Dolphins.
I really like the Dolphins, but it does feel like one of those games that the Eagles could, like, blow them out, and then everyone starts talking about how they're not eliminated yet.
Well, the Eagles, yeah, I mean, they could win the division at 8-8, which sounds crazy, but... The Giants are 6-6. The Cowboys are 7-5. But the Giants and the Cowboys play each other twice. So seemingly, if the Giants won, and they moved to 7-6, the Cowboys were 7-6. They both went 1-2 in their remaining 3 games, and the Eagles won out. The Eagles would win the division. So it's not that crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
It would be pretty crazy for them to... I mean, it would be pretty crazy if it happened for them to win the division at 8-8, but it's not like it's that... I mean, for those two teams to go 1-2 the way they're playing isn't, like, insane. Okay, New England Patriots headed into another bottom-of-the-barrel NFC East team, the Washington Redskins. Redskins getting 8 points. Ryan, I know from talking to you earlier, you feel good about the Redskins here. Why?
I think this line probably should be or was going to be somewhere in the 4-6 range, and then the news dropped that Fred Davis and Trent Williamson are being suspended for 4 games for testing positive for weed 3 times each.
Oh, really? I thought it was performance enhancing.
No, they were. This is weed related.
Really?
Yeah,
because all the stuff I read.
You know how you read the difference? They'll either say performance enhancing or they'll say substance abuse or substance failed. And so they apparently they failed 3 separate tests after the lockout or something dumb like that. Like, how dumb are these athletes? Like, you know you're getting drug tested. Just don't smoke weed a month before the season.
Guys are – but, I mean, yeah, they're getting Wizinators. Like, they're also given many opportunities to get around it.
So I think losing a left tackle who's not even that good and losing – I mean, losing Fred Davis could be big.
Fred Davis, though, that's kind of their only offense.
Well, Santana Moss is back now, and he's looking good. But I think that line jumping to 8 makes it real appealing to take Redskins team at home. They'll be up for this game. I still like their defense. So? Yeah, I think they'll be up.
I'll take the Redskins 8, but I don't feel strong about it. Just because
I really like – this is one of my top 5 picks probably right now.
Well, because New England's defense – isn't doing much. They're on the road.
They can't get a pass rush, so that's why I don't think...
Once again, they don't need this. All right, you talked me into it. 8 points, that's a lot. Okay, the Atlanta Falcons heading into Carolina, where the Carolina Panthers home dogs once again. 2.5 points. Ryan,
this seems like
enough?
I wish this was right at 3 so I could take the... Honestly, I think... I don't believe in the Falcons, especially on the road... But I think it's gotten to a point. Like this Panthers team is awful.
Yeah,
their defense just can't stop anyone. I think Atlanta's defense is solid, and 2.5 is perfect. I'll take -2.5 here. 2.5 is we've talked about it before. A 2.5 point favorite is kind of it feels sneaky, but I like the Falcons.
Right. I mean, the Falcons are a much better team, and they have a playoff spot to play for. The Panthers are at home, and they got Cam Newton. I think the Panthers will make it interesting, but ultimately I like the Falcons.
Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, and Julio Jones are going to have huge games.
Yeah, I just don't – this Panthers defense is pretty
awful.
They
couldn't stop Josh Johnson from scoring 19 points.
Yeah, I mean, Orlovsky almost beat him. So, yeah, now that I look at this a little bit more, it's tempting to take the Panthers because I've had good luck with them gambling this year. But
this was +3.5, maybe we're talking. But
maybe I'm a little interested. But I think this is kind of deceiving. People want they're giving the Panthers any sort of respect. A little too high.
I mean, honestly, I feel like it's a similar matchup to Saints Titans in that. I think that home team should be getting somewhere between 3 and 4, not under 3. So,
well, I think the Titans are a much better team than the Panthers.
I'm saying relative. I think like the Falcons are a poor man's Saints, and Panthers are a much poorer man's Titans.
Now, so who would you start? You talked about these two games. Who would you start? Would you start Cam Newton at home against the Falcons, or would you start Drew Brees on the road in Tennessee?
That's tough.
I think
you got to take Cam Newton. You got to start Cam
rushing
Newton
yards.
Because he's going to get those. And they'll most likely be losing or in a shootout because of their defense.
Right.
So I think you're going to get. I think this is a game where Cam Newton easily gets over 50 yards and a touchdown rushing without his passing numbers. So I think you got to roll with them.
Good call. And do we know, is Josh Freeman back for this next game? Where the Tampa Bay Bucks heading at Jacksonville. It's a pick.
Sounds like it's up in the air.
It's a pick right now.
If Josh Johnson's playing, I like the Jags.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if Josh Freeman's playing, give me the Bucks because I think this Jags team's pretty rough. But if Johnson's playing, you got to.
I mean,
he might be worse.
He is worse than Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert actually looked good for moments in that Monday night game, and then he just kind of fell apart. His confidence. He has no confidence.
Yeah, I think.
They look good at times, though. They were winning. They were 14-10, and you're like, "Oh wow, this is looking +3 is looking good."
I don't think Blaine Gabbert's that bad. I know he's gotten a lot of crap, but I've seen him step up and make some throws. I think he's a perfect guy. If he came into a good system with a quarterback or a coach who knew how to coach knew how to coach quarterbacks, was in a right system, was able to build slowly over time. I think he could be a good
quarterback. Honestly, I think if he swapped with Andy Dalton, you know, he might be successful. Just having that, having a receiver that can catch the ball.
Having some defense, that whole thing. Okay, the San Francisco 49ers head into Arizona where the Cardinals are getting 3.5 points. Now, the Cardinals got 4.5 points against the Cowboys, and they were able to cover this. Much better 49er team, only laying 3.5 points. Give me the 49ers, and I'll explain to you why. Kevin Cobb, man. Kevin Cobb is not going to be able to, even without Patrick Willis, I think this 49ers.
You know what's crazy? The reason this spread's only 3.5 is because Kevin Cobb. People remember the good plays he made because they saw the highlights.
Yeah.
But all those bad, bad sacks he took, oh my goodness.
Yeah, Kevin Cobb, he's afraid to throw the ball downfield. He really is, which is awful if you're an Arizona fan because that's what you got. You got Larry Fitzgerald. You got to throw it down the field. I don't see the Cardinals. I think they should start Skelton, to be honest. He was playing with reckless abandon. I think that's kind of what this Cardinals team needed. 49ers. Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd love it if it was -3, but I think the 3.5 is they're just laying that hook for you, Ryan. It's a banjo minnow of gambling at 3.5. They just want you to chomp at the Cardinals as a non-consensus pick. I can't do it. I got to pick the 49ers here.
Yeah, they. It is a little scary because everyone's betting on them and the line's not moving. But it. The only concern is, are they going to show up? They don't. I mean, they kind of need the game, but they three of their next four games are against the Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals.
I don't know. I think this is still in the window where they care.
My argument against it would be I didn't watch the Thanksgiving Day game, but I haven't seen the 49ers team lay an egg yet. So I haven't seen
well,
it. It seems like Harbaugh kind of gets them up for the game. Like I said, I didn't see Baltimore. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to take San Francisco. It just feels like one of those games you're feeling hesitant because of that half point, but in reality, and we talked about this, we thought this was going to be 6 points minimum.
Yeah. Okay, another 3.5 point spread that in my mind is not tricky at all. The Denver Broncos at home laying 3.5 points against the Chicago Bears. This Bears team feels like they kind of got the wind taken out of their sails. I just don't see the way the Bears are able to score. No Forte, no Jay Cutler. You're heading this Denver Broncos team. The defense is playing fired up. They're running the ball hard. And, of course, you got the magic wizardry.
And it's a late afternoon game. Or I guess in Denver it will be a mid-afternoon game.
Right.
But
Denver Sam's going to be rocking. I think it's going to be really tough for this Chicago team to go.
Although the team's been down, I still think it's a top five home field advantage. I agree with you. I thought this spread should have been somewhere between five, right around five. Really surprised when it only came out to be 3.5, and extra surprised it hasn't moved. I don't know. I guess people – the one statement I would make is that this is the first team – that has a top defense that is going to have a week to prepare. When the Jets played them, they only had – it was a short week. It was like coming off a Sunday night game, playing Thursday. But that would be the only argument. The counter would be, I don't think Chicago can score. So.
Now, granted, they did it against the Minnesota team who wasn't that strong, but they didn't seem to use that read option as much. He seemed to be running some more of the traditional offense. I think he was beating them by – you know, his receivers being open because they put so many guys in the box.
And they run a similar defense. Chicago just runs it a lot better. The big weakness for the Vikings, their back end is horrible. So, I don't know. I'm hard to not take the Broncos here. So,
yeah, in my mind, it's more I just don't see how the Bears score on this Denver
team. And it does feel like a game that could end because they shorten the game. So, like, man, I really like the under in this game again. But this really feels like a game that could end up being like 20-6, you know, it just because the Chicago is not going to get a ton of possessions.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago wasn't able to score a touchdown last week at home against Kansas City. Now you're going on the road in Denver. I don't know. It's just I don't see how they're going to put up points. No Forte. All right, San Diego Superchargers at home against the Buffalo Bills. Bills getting 7 points. Give me the Bills. I feel like this is just the time when the Bills make a little bit of run, get it a little bit interesting. This game is the Bills have been figured out, like we talked about in the last week game. But some reason this just makes sense to me. Plus +7 Buffalo getting it. Feels a little too high for me.
Feels like an overreaction to the only good game San Diego's played all year. That being said, I'm going to maybe they figured it out. Maybe Malcolm Floyd is the answer. I'm going to roll with San Diego here for one reason. Buffalo's been an atrocious road team this year. They're traveling across the country. I really – is this a night game? No, this is an afternoon game. But, yeah, I don't see it. I think the Chargers roll it up on them. I think maybe it's a shootout. This does feel like a game you take the over in, but I'm going to take the Chargers. Laying a lot of big spreads this week, Sean.
Yeah, do you have any underdogs, Ryan?
Of the big spreads, I like the Vikings and the Redskins, and that's it.
All right. Well, here's an underdog. I'm sure you're gonna like the New York Giants getting 3.5 points in Dallas. Cowboys laying 3.5 at
Why?
Home Sunday night.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason I'm
taking... This is a three-point spread here.
It's the only reason I'm taking the Giants here is 3.5. It feels like it should be 3. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas covered this just because I feel like Dallas might be able to take advantage of a Giants secondary here.
This might be an over also. It's probably going to be decently low because it's an NFC. It's a divisional matchup. But I don't – I mean, how is the Cowboys defense going to slow down? I mean – The Giants' offense is pretty dialed in lately, passing the ball. Bradshaw's back, which really helped their running game. And I don't know, Romo's been taking some sacks against teams with worse pass rushes than the Giants. So I don't know. I can't pick this game without – it's going to be a blowout. I don't know. I really think it's going to be like a 28-17 type game.
So what do you think is a good number for the over-under? Do you know it already?
I would think it would be closer to 50, like 48.5.
Oh, really?
But I have a feeling it's going to be right around that 44 to 45.
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to set it like 44 and that the over would be a good play there.
Yeah, that, like I said, that seems like the default Cowboys-Giants line is right at 44.5, 45, but I'll look it up right now. Hold on. So, yeah, it is, like I thought it would. It's 49.
Wow.
Yeah, which makes sense because both defenses have been exposed on the back end especially.
Okay, yeah, so they are kind of adjusting for it. Then, yeah, I don't know. That to me may even play the under there. Okay, Monday night matchup. I saw a posting on Deadspin that the manager for Bodog sent a message to the guy over at Deadspin, and he said the action they're seeing for this Monday night game, it could be the lowest bet on game of all time since he's been there. It's been like 10-plus years.
So no one's betting on the game, period?
No one's betting on the game, period. Wow. Seattle Seahawks laying 7.5 points against the St. Louis Rams. ESPN, you got to love this Monday night schedule they've been laying out.
They really made an awful deal giving up Sunday night. NBC's like, all right, we'll take it. We'll do the flex thing.
Yeah, the flex thing is it's a ratings bonanza.
So the starting quarterback, his name is Tom Brandstater.
For the St. Louis Rams. Yeah, you got to go against him. Going into Seattle for his first start. Although this is, I could either see the Seahawks blowing him out or the Rams winning.
Well, here's the thing. The Seahawks are still in the playoff race. Like, they're 5-7. If they win out, 9-7 is definitely going to be a playoff team. So
yeah, and I mean, you watch Marshawn Lynch on that Thursday night game. They got a little bit fired up. So now you're getting that extra little kind of mini bye. I played it on the Thursday night game. You got rested, and you got a St. Louis team that is just god-awful.
Yeah, seriously, that's like, what, 11 days of rest?
Yeah. I like St. Louis here. I like them 7.5.
You mean Seattle?
Yeah, sorry. I like Seattle laying 7.5.
And I think that will be a unpopular pick in the contest, but...
Well, that's what we need, Ryan. We need some unpopular picks so we can climb up the ladder. All right, Ryan, why don't you give me an upset special and a lock of the week and throw a three-team tease in there for good measure.
Well, we'll start with the three-team tease.
All right.
Three-team, it's a 10-point tease. It seems way too easy. I don't know which team screws you here, but you can kind of interchange. You can take – what I would do, because that you take the Ravens -6.5, you take the Packers -1, and then you throw in either the Jets +1 or the Steelers -4. there is that weirdness about the divisional game for the Steelers, maybe the Browns. I don't know. So I'm going to go with Ravens minus 6.5, Packers minus 1, and Jets plus 1. In terms of, I think for the lock of the week, I don't know, for me, it seems like it's got to be the Titans. I think this is a classic situation where you have like 95% of the public money is coming in on the Saints right now.
Really? This seems like such
and
an obvious
the trick. Line has dropped from 4.5 to 3.5. So that's usually, it's happened a couple weeks this year where you know it just, it was Titans-Ravens actually, a similar scenario. It opened at 6.5. All the money came in on the Baltimore rate. All the public money came in on Baltimore. Yet the spread dropped to 4.5, and Titans won that game outright. I think this you just got to go with the Titans. And for an upset money line special, I'll roll the dice big time this week. I'm gonna roll with the Vikings.
Yeah,
I'm gonna roll with the Vikings. That's probably gonna be sitting at like plus 200. That just feels like a game that Detroit's got a lot of little drama going about them. I can see AP or Percy Harvin busting a big touchdown early and just a little scared about the defensive backfield of Minnesota versus Calvin Johnson, but I don't know. I just have a feeling about that one. I definitely like the plus 7, but why not roll the dice, plus 200, plus 220, whatever you can get.
All right, let's see here. For my three team tees, I like the 49ers getting 6.5 points.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That feels pretty good to me right there. You got the Packers laying 1 point.
Yeah, that seems like automatic. That's going to be the one that screws us.
Well, and that means the Raiders would have to win.
Yeah.
You can always just throw a Raiders money line bet against your three team teaser if that's really your concern, Ryan. And let's see here. One more team. Oh, okay. I'll take the Seahawks plus 2.5 at home. I'll actually, I can see the Rams maybe squeezing that out. Oh, no. The Broncos getting 6.5 at home.
There you go.
Lay another.
There you go.
It would be nicer if those were plus 7 instead of 6.5, but I don't see the Broncos losing by 6.5. God would not allow it. So for my lock of the week, obviously the Denver Broncos minus 3.5. And for my upset special, Ryan, I'm also going with the 7-point dog, the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, wow.
Winning outright in San Diego.
Circling the wagons.
I just think the Bills got a little bit in the tank, a little bit frisky. I like going with these big upsets. I like going with anything, you know, anything higher than 3 or 4 points. That feels like a real upset special to me.
Yeah, I just feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick's been too busy counting his money and not studying the playbook.
Yeah, he's busy looking over like financial derivatives and default credit swaps and other Harvard bullshit. All right, Ryan, any notes for this final week or one of these final weeks in the NFL here?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to note is that I won a big ping pong match before I came over. I moved up to 47th place in my work ping pong ladder, so you can check me out there. You know, that's pretty much it. We work with these Asian dudes that are just so good. It's ridiculous.
Awesome. Yeah. Maybe after NFL season's over, we'll start handicapping that.
Why not?
Sounds fun, man. Real quick, the NBA season starting off. Who do you like? Who do you like in the NBA? What kind of a season props are we looking at?
I haven't seen win totals yet, but I've seen some numbers for MVP and Rookie of the Year. Honestly, I don't know. I just Chris,
give me your NBA Finals right now.
It's tough. I mean, it's hard to not pick this Heat team.
Yeah, I think this is the year that they would win it.
And it doesn't seem to be a strong competitor. I mean, obviously, if the Knicks get Chris Paul, that's a huge deal. If the Lakers get Dwight Howard and or Chris Paul, that's a big deal.
Wait, they might get Chris Paul and Dwight Howard?
There's rumors that they're trying to get both. The Celtics are trying to get Chris Paul.
Wow, imagine Chris Paul, Dwight Howard. Wait,
They would obviously deal Bynum and Odom, and it would probably be you'd have Chris Paul and Dwight Howard and a bunch of guys, a bunch of scrubs.
Right.
You
mean Kobe Bryant?
I mean, I think there is there does seem to be a bit of people are sleeping on the Lakers. I mean, they're still the Lakers. I don't think Dallas can repeat what they did. It was so much based on shooting the Rock. It's hard to repeat that.
It seems like they had a nice run there.
But I will say, I'll give you – so the finals, I'll roll with the Heat. And honestly, I have a feeling this is like Kobe's last hurrah. And it's going to be a Miami versus LA final. But I don't know. I have a feeling that the Pacers are going to make a run. They have a lot of young talent. They've done well building that team. And I'd look out for them. I'd look out. I mean, obviously the Knicks aren't surprising anyone, but I mean, they have two of the top, 15 to 20 players in the league, and they might get Chris Paul. They could be tough. I think the Celtics are done. I think they're past their prime at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about getting rid of Rondo, who I thought was really good. And I can't imagine wanting to get rid of him. Must be an attitude thing. And
he can't play at the end of games. He can't shoot free throws.
That's true. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Subscribe to iTunes. Click on the sponsor links there. You can follow me at Green Room Show. You can check out the Green Room Podcast, SeanTGreen.com. And, of course, I am Sean T. Green. Okay. And
one last real quick prediction.
Sure.
You might not be able to get it anymore because the people are projecting it already. But if you were like myself and you grabbed Robert Griffin III at plus 230, you're looking pretty good. It seems like he's going to win the Heisman this Saturday. So.
All right, yeah, it's probably a little too late to bet on that now.
Although some places still have it up. So.
Oh, really?
And he's not the favorite. Luck is still the favorite.
Wow. All right. Well, maybe throw some on that. But, yeah, Andrew Luck's going to win it, right?
No, it's every news source now is coming out saying that it looks like Robert Griffin III is going to win the Heisman.
Well, he's from Baylor, right?
The Baylor kid. He deserves it more than Luck.
Yeah, but it's hard. Whenever those like big-name guys, they always seem to give it to them. All right, everyone. For Sean Green, he's...
I'm here.
Okay, let it ride.